definitely there.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. On this first trading day of November, our coverage of the fallout of the financial crisis turns to both harsh realities and hope for a better month on Wall Street. The president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond said today we're definitely in a recession. Jeffrey Lacker went on to say the severity of what's ahead is still unclear. His prediction after a speech at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem was the recession will be fairly moderate. Lacker becomes a voting member of the Fed's interest rate setting committee next year. A new survey of economists also says we're already in a recession. Marketplace's Alisa Roth has more.
About a third of people responding to the survey said demand for their goods and services increased between late summer and early fall. But here's the catch. 35% say demand fell. The last time the survey turned out this way was 2001, when the economy went into a recession. The group that puts out the survey, the National Association of Business Economists, says that this indicator has been predicting recessions for more than 25 years. The quarterly survey talks to around 100 business economists. Economic data out this week may offer support for NABE's prophecy. Car sales start coming out today. Numbers on factory orders are out tomorrow. And on Friday, perhaps the biggest of them all, the Labor Department releases the big monthly employment report. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Here's where the hope comes in. Investors are just praying November is at least a little prettier than October. The Dow was down 14% last month. The month did end, though, with a rally Friday. The Dow picked up 144 points, or 1.5% Friday, to 9,325. Asian stocks were mostly higher today. Markets in Japan were closed for a holiday. And European shares are still edging higher. Now, that recession theme is also in effect overseas. The European Commission said today the Eurozone was in a technical recession. The credit crunch is certainly biting deeper into global trade. There's been a big jump in financing costs for shipping international cargo. Stephen Beard reports from London.
The cost of finance for exporters and importers has more than doubled in recent weeks, and often the finance is not available at all. The World Trade Organization is so alarmed it's called a meeting of major banks in Geneva next week. International trade is undoubtedly shrinking. Many of the big, dry, bulk cargo ships that usually carry raw materials like iron ore and grain lie idle. There's little doubt, says shipping broker Tony Westbrook, the slump is mainly due to lack of credit.
We are seeing factories in China needing less raw materials because demand of some of their finished goods is slowing, but that would not have had the effect on the market that the credit situation has had. It is primarily a credit crunch situation.
There is now so little demand for shipping that the biggest bulk cargo vessels are losing their owners up to $9,000 a day. Many are trying to pull their ships out of service and into mothballs. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org. And by Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. Available to patient-serving groups at medtronic.com/community.
Perhaps the biggest question for markets this week, how will stocks respond to the election?
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
As we head into the last day of campaigning, lawmakers in Washington are tossing around ideas for a second government stimulus package. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is here. And Alan, I want to know your take on stimulus part two so far.
I suspect, Renita, that the stimulus package is not so much about stimulating the economy, but stimulating votes tomorrow, because the incumbents want to show that not only rich people and big corporations can get, say, $1 trillion from the government, but regular people can get their own hundreds of billions of dollars. So why not, as long as we're throwing these unimaginable amounts of money around, why not throw some of it to regular people, which might help a few people keep their seats?
You had state leaders, trade groups, economists all descending on the House last week to sort of talk about what should be next, looking at a lot of ideas that are going out right now, including guarantees for municipal debt.
But that has nothing, the only thing that stimulates is bond owners. This has nothing to do with stimulating the economy. If you want to say, let's ensure this, let's do that, let's do public works, fine, let it rise or fall on its own merits. But to call it stimulus is the kind of thing that ought to get the Federal Trade Commission, if it's still alive, after you for false labeling.
Well, in fact, as I understand it, the first stimulus bill had initially included some money for infrastructure spending and those kinds of things, but ended up being taken out because the fear was, you know what, putting this into construction projects would take too long to create any sort of economic benefits. You know, people wouldn't feel like something's happening.
Right. There was also, forgive me, a political component to that, as I remember, where the Republicans were against it because, you know, ideologically. And I'm sure the Republicans would still ideologically be against public works. I might even be ideologically against public works. But public works worked really well as a long-term thing in the Depression. I think it's clear that they worked, that it worked well. This isn't the Depression, and we're talking about giving the economy a shot in the arm, and public works won't do it.
Where's your head right now with all this talk of psychology?
My head is doing where it always is, Renita. I'm just trying to survive and take care of myself and my family.
I hear that. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan, happy voting to you.
And to you as well, Renita.
You can weigh in with Alan by looking for this segment at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.